So was Surveyor the next mission that you tracked?
Yeah, Surveyor was next. In between, like a month or so after the pictures came back, Bob Leslie obviously worked out that he couldn't sit on the ops desk if we were going to something like long countdowns followed by a long track. So he, I think, arranged for the company to change the operational structure. Paddy Johnston was the only, if you like, operations supervisor that was in the company organisation at that point. And after this long period of mariner tracking, they decided they'd have an ops section of three guys. It was Paddy, myself, and Neil McVicker, I think. And we took the shifts. I got the job because I understood the receiver systems, and that was the most complicated part of the whole bit, understanding the interfaces. And I think that gave me a shoe in because I understood all of what happened with the receiver and the transmitter and the data out of the receiver to the analog systems and digital systems. So,
was that around the time that Mike Dinn was brought in as well to help with operation?
He came sometime after that. We had this operational structure going for a little while before Mike turned up, but he did turn up, as he said, somewhere just before Surveyor 1 or around Surveyor 1, I can't be sure.
Yeah.
But we had to install, as a station, we had to install all of this Surveyor telemetry and command equipment. Surveyor was an extremely dumb spacecraft, as some of the Hughes people put it. It had to have everything commanded to it from the ground. It didn't have any large data storage capabilities. The only thing that I think it did have stored in it was a descent program for its descent system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you wanted to move the solar panel, you had to send it 10 commands to move the solar panel, whatever, a tenth of a degree each, or whatever the commands made it move. You know, it was a very dumb spacecraft. So they had on site a full team of Hughes engineers, Hughes Aircraft Company, who built the spacecraft, and all of the telemetry equipment. These guys had a huge console with meters upon meters upon meters, looking at all the parameters that could be looked at, and the command system was similarly on site. The people in mission control in Pasadena used to tell the spacecraft operations chief on site, they used to call him a SOC, spacecraft operations chief, they'd tell him what to tell the spacecraft.
Right.
And so he would tell his command operator to do something, he'd tell his telemetry operator to change the data edit format if they went to a different mode of telemetry data. It was very much an on-site run mission with remote fingers in JPL, if you like, controlling it.
And they would have had a similar setup
at Goldstone and in Madrid, yeah. So that was just the most exciting mission because, you know, once the spacecraft achieved its mid-course manoeuvre, it had really achieved one of its prime mission objectives. And they said, oh, boy, this is looking good. We better start thinking about, you know, more seriously if it gets to the moon. And, you know, it performed absolutely flawlessly all the way there. It landed on the moon perfectly. And, you know, we used to joke, oh, it's landed. Okay, guys, what are you going to do now? But they had, obviously, plans of what they were going to do. They just had to develop the finer detail of it on the run.
So was Ted tracking for the landing on Surveyor 1?
I think we would have been. I think that it would have been parallel with JPL, the way they always seem to do it. Parallel with Goldstone, sorry.
Yep.
Always like to have two ground stations looking at something of critical importance. Yeah, I may not have been on shift, which may, you know, have meant that I missed out, or I could have been on shift. I just don't remember. All I can remember is that the telemetry engineer was a guy called Frank Hain, who, after this mission and the subsequent surveyor missions were completed, he ended up going to Honeysuckle to work. He didn't go back to Hughes Aircraft. He went across to Honeysuckle. So the Honeysuckle guys know Frank very well.
Yeah.
He used to be all arms and legs jumping around. He had this full Wurlitzer organ-type console there with all the telemetry readouts. Frank would be arms going. He was a very good engineer, but he was fun to watch. Yeah. So when the thing landed, Surveyor 1 landed, and they took the first picture, which was of the foot pad. There was pre-programmed camera angle. They wanted to see what had happened to the foot. And after that, then they had to get into routines of what they wanted to look at, and they took lots and lots of pictures. I've actually got one of the mission reports of Surveyor. That's this one, Surveyor 1, which I've only got two volumes of it, but one of them is all of the pictures. The other one is sort of the detail of mission performance. Anyhow, yeah, that was great. And of course, all the video that came down was actually recorded on a video recorder,
mm-hmm.
like a TV station video recorder from a cathode ray tube. It was a bit like, almost sort of like the slow scan television stuff that Apollo had.
Right.
The image came down, and this big cathode ray tube presented it, and somehow it was recorded on videotape. I know what the cathode ray tube was. They could take Polaroids.
That's right,
So that they could adjust the camera settings and whatever. So they'd take one to see what the picture looked like, and then, you know, they might record several, I don't know. But the beauty was that after the track, we could play those things back and get Polaroids again. Anyway, that was a most exciting mission. And, of course, when the lunar day was coming to an end, Mission Control put the spacecraft to sleep. They switched it all down into a standby mode, not expecting it to survive the lunar night. And as part of the network, tried to bring it up again on the next lunar day, and nothing could be revived. Paddy Johnson was lucky. He was the one after, you know, they'd spend hours sending these commands to tell it to wake up. And so Paddy got the Sleeping Beauty Award for awakening the spacecraft.
So you just happened to be lucky by getting it when it had enough power to power up? Or?
I guess.
Yeah.
And it went through all the second lunar day, and in the end they sort of ran out of things that they could get it to do. And it wasn't until later missions they figured out, well, you know, if we don't kill the electrics to the descent motor, we might be able to get this thing to hop somewhere.
Mm.
And in later missions, they actually fired up the, I don't know if it's the descent motor or the attitude control motors, but they made it hop from one landing place to another. to get different soil samples, etc., different views.
It's sad that surveyor's almost been forgotten now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was such a pioneering mission.
Oh, marvellous. The first soft landing on the moon. You know, the rangers were all impact stuff. Surveyor was just brilliant and huge. While they might have had a high-cost program, they had a great track record with the seven spacecraft. One of them didn't do its mid-course properly and got lost, and I think most of them performed pretty well.
And we've got some pictures of the Earth from the lunar surface as well.
Yeah, well, I've actually got Polaroids of that. I've got Polaroids of Orion's nebula.
Gee.
It really was just a brilliant mission because everything was on site. All in all, operationally, everything went perfectly.